What I want to share this morning is I want to talk about influence. Influence. And I have an awesome story to share with you. My wife, Trish, she helps out with a family that are friends of ours. They have six kids, all ages, what is it, 9 and under? Andrew, is it 9 and under, 8 and under? Something like that? 9 and under, okay. Six kids, ages, so she's been pregnant for about the past decade, pretty much. So she has all these little ones, and she homeschools some of the older ones. So Trish goes over 2 days a week, and she helps out with the younger ones and does some housework and stuff like that. So she had the four-year-old one day, whose name is Ivy. And this was over the summer, and Ivy's brothers and sisters were out in the yard with water pistols, you know, shooting each other because it was a nice hot day. You could do that. And so Trish was helping Ivy with her water pistol so she could get it full with water and go out and have fun with her siblings. Well, Ivy was having problems with this thing and couldn't get the thing open to get the water in. And so Trish is there and she says, Trish, will you do this for me? And Trish is messing around with it and couldn't get the thing open. And finally she just said, Ivy, I can't do it. We're going to have to pray to Jesus. And so right there with the little four-year-old, Trish prayed, said amen, and wouldn't you know it, right away, thing opens up, puts water in it, and Ivy is just, that really got her attention, the four-year-old. Her nine-year-old sister comes in and says, come on, guys, what's taking you so long? And the four-year-old says, we were having problems with this, but Trish prayed to Jesus, and now we got water in it. So right away, it has influence. It has impact on the four-year-old, right? And this is just in the midst of daily life. So we fast forward 2 months later, and they're playing Uno or some game, and they're having problems with the thing. And I don't know exactly what they were doing. You had to build something, and they're messing around with it, and it's not working, and people are getting frustrated. And what does the four-year-old say? She says, Trish, you have to pray to Jesus. This four-year-old was influenced by what had happened 2 months earlier. And do you think that her perspective of prayer changed at that moment? Maybe for the rest of her life. And Trish influenced this little one in a positive way for the kingdom. Laura does this all the time in her school. She has little ones. She's a teacher, if you don't know, up in the Harrisburg School District. And I'm sure there are moments like that, too many to count, that happen on a regular basis for you. So way to go. You're doing good. Influence. As we're influenced by God, we're then able to go out and influence others for his kingdom. Boy. Woo! Those beans have more kicks than a Bruce Lee flick, right? Oh my goodness. Can you help me out, Franklin? Help a brother out, come on! You're throwing me under the bus here. No, I'm just kidding. So influence. Influence is what we want to talk about this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And hopefully we won't have any more sound effects this morning. Okay, so Matthew 5, we're going to start in verse 13. Very familiar passage of Scripture for us. Jesus is speaking, and he says here in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is what we're talking about this morning. We are influenced by our Heavenly Father as we spend time in his presence, as we spend time in his word, as we spend time in worship, corporately on a Sunday morning like this, but also individually as we go into our prayer closets, hopefully on a daily basis, and have that intimate one-on-one worship time. We're influenced by him, and then we're equipped We got the goods to go out and influence those around us as well. Just like Trish did with Ivy, just like Laura does every day with her students. Amen? Daniel 11:32 says, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Carry out great exploits. Why do we want to do that? So we can get all puffed up and say, "Look what I did. I'm super Christian." Not at all. Not at all. It's not to puff us up. It's not to build us up. It's not that we get glory. It's that who gets the glory? Jesus. Amen. Amen. The people who know their God, the people who are influenced by their God, shall be strong and carry out great exploits, that the goodness of God would be known among those that know us. Amen. We're influenced by God, and we influence others. Now, for most of us, this isn't a new revelation. This isn't a new idea. This is a reminder, but I know myself personally, I need some reminders every once in a while. Are you with me? Ask my wife. She'll tell you how many reminders I need. Ask Tanya this morning. She'll tell you I needed a reminder because I dismissed the kids before we did the Advent candle. So trust me, I'm a guy that needs reminders, and I believe we all from time to time need reminders. So hopefully this is a good reminder for all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort," verse 4, "who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, a lot of times we read those passages at a funeral, and it's very appropriate for times like that when somebody is going through grief. Somebody is mourning the loss of a loved one. We want to be able to comfort them with the comfort that God has comforted us with. Does that make sense? Because we've spent time with God and He has influenced us with His comfort, and He's revealed His goodness to us, and He's shown us His character, and we have a better understanding of who He is. Out of that, out of Him influencing us, we're able to impart to others who maybe are mourning the loss of a loved one or whatever the situation is, right? It so clearly lays it out in these verses that as we're influenced by God, we're able to influence others for His kingdom. Make sense? You guys with me? Okay. God influences us, and then we're able to influence others. God gives to us, and then we give to others. God loves us, and then we love others. God gives us salvation, and then we share salvation with others. We are called to influence others. We are actually commissioned to influence others. Remember the Great Commission. We are actually commissioned to influence others. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And we'll start in verse 18. This is after Jesus had been crucified. He was raised from the dead on the third day. He came and spent time with some of His followers. And now He's about to ascend to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. But before He does that, He says this to His followers. In Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations.'" Go therefore and influence. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father," influence, "and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you," influence. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are commissioned to influence. We are commissioned to make a difference in the lives of people around us for His kingdom. For His kingdom. We can think of some folks throughout Scripture who definitely influenced on a big scale those that they had access to. We can think of somebody like Daniel, who, although he was a part of a nation that was taken captive by another nation, this man was in captivity and served under multiple kings, under multiple administrations. Although he was in captivity, he had very much influence over the nation that was actually holding him captive. You say, how does that happen? Well, with God, all things are possible. And he's called to influence others for the kingdom of God. And by golly, that's exactly what Daniel did. Even when the tables seemed to be turned on him, right? And his foes in the king's administration were scheming and devising and coming up with a way to take Daniel down. We don't like this Hebrew. He does everything better than we do. He's wiser than us. He looks better than us. We can't get up on this guy. So we're going to come up with a way to take him down. And so they talk to the king. And Nebuchadnezzar passes this law. You know the story. Where you hear the music. I think somebody's alarm might be going off. It went off? Okay, excellent. Hopefully nobody's car is being stolen at this moment. Somebody just said, I hope it's mine. I got my insurance paid and I have a low deductible, so it's all right. So even when the tables looked like they were turned on him, right? And they told Daniel this new law. Dude, when the music plays, you got to worship the king, right? And he said, okay, I'll see you later. I'm going up to the window to pray like I always have and like I'm going to continue to do, right? And so his foes went to the king and said, do you know what Daniel did? He broke the law, and now you got to throw him in the lion's den. And they're thinking, we got him now. We're wiping him out. He won't be a thorn in our side anymore. He is going down. And he didn't go down, right? And they put him in the lion's den. Oh, my goodness. I know. This is a scary part of the story. And so... And you know the story. The next day, the king himself ran to this lion's den. Are you there? Are you there, Daniel? Yes, I am. And then the tables got turned on his foes. And who ended up being thrown in the den after that? The guys that came up with the nasty law to take Daniel down, right? And as a result, the king decreed that you only worship Daniel's God. This guy, who was essentially a slave. He was captive by an enemy nation, had influence over the king, who had influence over a nation. No matter what our situation, we can have influence in the places where God has us, even if it seems like the tables have been turned on us. Right? We can think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can think of Joseph. Joseph affected two nations. And remember all the stuff that Joseph went to get to that point where he could save his family and also the nation of Egypt. It looked like the tables were turned on him. Everywhere he went, though, he had influence. He had influence in Potiphar's house. He was in charge of the whole thing. Then he got lied about and thrown in prison. And eventually, he was in charge of the whole thing there. Joseph had influence, even in the negative places, we'll say, that he was. What Joseph maybe didn't realize is that God was preparing him all along to have even greater influence over two nations eventually. That's awesome. That's amazing. He went from the jailhouse to the White House in one day and had much influence. So you say, well, that's great, Kurt. Yeah, I'm glad for Daniel. I'm glad for Joseph. I don't have access to a king or a president. That's okay. Do you have access to your boss? Do you have access to your coworkers? Can you have influence in the place where God has placed you right now? Right? Can you grow where you've been planted? Can you have influence there? I have two friends who are having amazing influence in their regular secular jobs that they go to every day just like the rest of us do. I have one friend who works for a company that's being bought out by a larger company. And he's in the HR department, and he is actually doing things that are above his job description because they see his character, they see his integrity, they see his wisdom. They realize this guy is an asset. We can entrust him with more than really what his job description lays out. And he is helping the people in his company to transition to jobs in this new, bigger company. It's going to be a several-month process. It doesn't happen just like this. And he is helping to shepherd those people through this transition. I would say he is helping to pastor these people, his coworkers, through this transition. He is having very much influence in the regular 9-to-5 where God has him right now. I have another friend who's a teacher, not in this area. He's a teacher. He does a great job. He loves what he does. Do you know who the guy in charge of the whole school, do you know who he calls into his office when he has an important decision to make? Or he has a really complex situation, or he's not sure about what to do? He calls my friend, the teacher, in to his office, and they talk about it. And my friend prays for him. Not only that, but even personal stuff. The head guy is sharing with this teacher. Now, he's not the head of a department. He's not, you know, PhD. He's not all these titles and everything, which there's nothing, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. He's one of the teachers, one of the hundreds of teachers in this place, and yet he's having very much influence in the regular 9-to-5 place where God has placed him for this season. And I would say in both cases, God is grooming them and God is preparing them to have influence where they are and to have greater influence at the next place that God brings them into. Amen? And that's not only for these two guys, but I believe that's available, and I believe that that's what God wants for each one of us as well, to have influence in the regular 9-to-5 lives that we live, to have influence for his kingdom. Amen? Now we hear stories like this about, you know, Daniel and Joseph and the amazing impact that they had. And even stories about my two friends, and we think, gosh, that's great. I want to do that. I'm on board with that. Yeah, I'm with that. And that's good, and we need to go after that. We need to be intentional about it, because if we just sit back and say, yeah, that'd be great if God did that in my life, how many of you think it's not going to happen? It's not. Unless we're intentional. We were talking the other night at Family Builders, and Daryl and Tanya shared this great little piece about, you know, the busyness of the holiday season and how we can get caught up in the hustle and bustle, and you know, it can be a really frustrating time, and how if we're intentional to set time aside, it sounds cliche, but to remember the reason for the season and to get plugged into him and get a download from him. If we're intentional to do that, it can totally shift how we view the holiday season. But if we just sit back and say, yeah, I'd be up for that, God, if you want to do it, it ain't going to happen, right? But if we're intentional, yes. And so it's the same thing with this. The point is, if we're intentional about going after this, God will honor that, and we will have amazing influence in the places where he has us, our workplace, Walmart, Giant, you know, out with friends, whatever. And here's the last point I want to close with, is that it's okay. It's all right. How do we know that's not you, Franklin? I've heard you're kind of a gassy boy, but just kidding. The point is, we can have all the influence out there, but if it doesn't start at home, what are we doing? I heard a story. Do you guys know who Richard Petty is? He's a race car driver. Richard Petty, you know who? Yeah. Richard Petty is probably one of the most well-known race car drivers and one of the most successful race car drivers in history. I can only imagine what Stan said. What? Oh, she's kicking you. Okay. Richard Petty has like 200 victories on NASCAR. Oh, she's snorting now. On NASCAR's top circuit. 200 victories. You know how many the guy in second place on all-time victories has? 105. Richard Petty dwarfs everybody in career victories. He has 200. The guy in second has 105. The guy in third, I think, has 93. Nobody's even close to him. He has 7 championships. You know what his nickname is? What's his nickname, guys? Richard Petty's nickname is The King. The King. And I would say he earned that nickname. 200 victories? Are you kidding me? He's the King. Here's the thing. I heard an interview with his son, Kyle Petty, one time, who was also a race car driver, and who was reflecting back when he was a young boy growing up and had the King as his father. And he said there were many times that he actually resented his father, because after a race, Richard Petty would stay around for hours and sign autographs for everyone and pose for pictures with all the fans and do interviews with the media for hours upon end. This isn't like once a year. This is like every weekend. It's a long NASCAR season. This eats up so much of his time. And Kyle Petty said, as his son, I felt like he had time for everybody else out there. And he had this great public persona and this great public image, but he never had time for his own son. And so that's the point I'm trying to make here. We can have so much influence out there, but if we're not having the right kind of influence for his kingdom at home, what are we doing? What are we doing? I remember hearing Jack Frost. You've heard me talk about Jack Frost from time to time. That's the guy's actual name, Jack Frost, right? Jack Frost was a pastor. It can happen in ministry as well, guys. And Jack Frost, everybody in his church loved him. Oh, Pastor Jack is great. You know, Pastor Jack prayed with me last week. Oh, Pastor Jack stopped by my house and we had a little visit. Pastor Jack is what? I love Pastor Jack. And this was before he really had a revelation of God's love for him. And when Pastor Jack went home every night, everybody out there loved him and thought he was the best thing since sliced bread. And his own kids hated him. His words, my own kids hated me. He had all the influence in the world out there, but what kind of influence was he having at home? And listen, I'm not sharing this with us to lay some kind of heavy load on us that bogs us down and makes us think I am the biggest loser that's ever been. I'm not trying to do that at all. If anyone's kind of, you know, there like, oh boy. Listen, this can be a good reminder for us. This can be a wake-up call for us that, yes, God wants us to have influence out there, and he will equip us to do that, and it needs to start at home. Am I having the right kind of influence for his kingdom at home? Are things in balance, or are they out of balance? Do I need Holy Spirit to come and help me make an adjustment in my priorities? We have to be people of influence for the kingdom at home, because it has to be real. It can't be some kind of show we're putting on, right? It's not a marketing tool. It's not, you know, a publicity stunt. We want to have real influence out there because we're having real influence in our homes first. I spoke to my brother last night. I was actually up there. The boys were up there playing with their cousins. I'm going to wrap up with this thought. Again, we're talking about influence, that we've been influenced by him, and we go out and influence others. And he was sharing with me that he recently read that account in Scripture where the disciples were trying to deliver this one person of a demon, and they weren't able to, and Jesus wasn't there when this was going on. He was away. Later on, Jesus came back on the scene, and the people came to him and said, Jesus, will you cast this demon out of him? Your disciples couldn't do it. And remember, Jesus has this little exchange with his disciples and says, he talks about faith and everything, and he says, excuse me, that this one isn't cast out except by prayer and fasting. And that really caught his attention. And so what he really felt led to do by God was to start, and I don't know if it's once a week or once a month, it's on a consistent basis in this season right now, that he is fasting one day a week or a month or something, and he's taking his family out on little prayer things. Like, they live over in Landisburg, so they went to New Bloomfield, which is the county seat, and they did a prayer walk. He took his wife and three kids on the day that he was fasting and did a prayer walk, and they're praying for their government on a county level. They were praying, this was before the presidential election, they were praying for that. And he, can you see where he was influenced by the Lord through that scripture? And then he in turn was able to influence his family. And he takes them out on prayer walks. And they were going to do it another time, and it was raining, and they thought, no, let's just stay at home and pray. And so they're having this prayer time on a regular basis. And he's fasting on a regular basis as well, in corporation with the prayer time. He has been influenced by the Lord, and now he's turning around and influencing his family. And I think it's even going beyond his family. Like, he talks to people about it in his workplace and just mentions, hey, I pray on a regular basis. Is there anything I could be praying for you about? And he pulls out the list, and he's got this big, you know, list, and he's got stuff all over it from family. He asked me if, you know, there's anything he could pray for me about. But he's doing this with coworkers as well. Isn't that awesome? In his regular 9-to-5 daily life, has been influenced by God, and now he in turn is influencing those around him. And it's starting at home. I don't know that I could give a better example than that of what I'm trying to share with us this morning. We are people of influence. We have been commissioned to influence those around us. We're not going to do it in our own strength. We need, on a regular basis, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with His grace, to be filled with His love, to be filled with His compassion, that when we look at other people at work or in the store, we see things the way, we see those people the way that God sees them. Amen? We need that. We need His perspective. We need His vision as to how He sees the matter, how He sees the person. So, will you all stand with me as we close?